Pretty bad storm. Looks like a lot. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 5. Look at me with starting at verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3. It says, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth, and these things given in charge, that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she hath relieved the afflicted, if she hath diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Now, one of the great things about the Bible is that it has special instructions for everything in life. You know, and you say, well, how about the things that aren't mentioned? Well, you have Romans chapter 14 for that one, because then it comes down to convictions. But, you know, the Bible is, it tells you exactly how to handle situations. And it really doesn't matter who you are or how old you are or what you do. There's absolutely no one who can say that the Bible does not have instructions for them. Now, the unsaved, to the unsaved, the Bible has but one instruction to them, and that is that they are to believe the gospel and be born again. God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And for a lost person today, you say, well, what message does the Bible have for a lost person? It is to be saved. Okay, that's the message it has. But for the saved person, there are quite a few instructions given. And today I want to talk about one of those subjects, and that is the subject of widows. More specifically, the subject of those considered to be widows indeed. Now, there is a difference when you read your Bible. The Bible talks about how you have young widows and how to treat them, and then you have the older widows, and then those older widows, some of them have certain circumstances that qualify them to be what the Bible calls widows indeed. And, you know, every Christian should be very careful how he treats people, especially when it comes to orphans and widows. That's something that we need to be very careful about. Because all of us will give an account one day for how we treated them in this life. You might want to write these verses down somewhere there. But in Psalm 68:5, it says this. It says, the father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. If you'll notice, over and over, the Bible puts a special emphasis on orphans and widows. And we need to be careful how we treat orphans and widows. We need to be careful how we treat everybody. We need to treat everybody with godly hospitality and godly love, but we need to be very careful how we treat widows and orphans. Malachi chapter 3 verse 5 says, and I will come near to you, you to judgment, and I will be swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling and his wages. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to judge the sorcerers, adulterers, false swearers. I mean, he's talking about witches and people who are lying and stuff like that. But then he says this, against those that oppress the hireling of the wages, the widow and the fatherless that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, he's going to judge those people on how they treat widows and orphans the same way he's going to judge those people who are sorcerers. And I'd say God takes that pretty seriously. Amen? I mean, that's what we're told. Now, again, people need to be very careful. Christians need to be careful how they treat orphans and widows. Now, we all know what a widow is. It's a woman whose husband has passed away. And there are many widows mentioned in the Bible. I'll give you a few. If you'll remember, Naomi and Ruth were both widows. You'll read that over in Ruth chapter 1, verse 3. There was the widow of Zarephath who sustained Elijah during the famine. That's in 1 Kings chapter 17. You also have the woman whose sons Elisha saved from being sold for debt in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. She was a widow. You have the widow Anna in Luke chapter 2, verses 36 and 37. You have the woman who gave two mites in the temple that Jesus saw throwing those two mites. In Luke chapter 21, verse 2, she was a widow. You also have the woman of Nain, whose son Jesus raised from the dead. She was a widow as well. So as you can see, there are a lot of widows mentioned in the Bible. The Bible has much to say about widows. According to Acts chapter 6, verse 1, the reason there are deacons in the church today is because of widows. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "And in those days, when the numbers of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." So it was because of the widows being neglected that our very first deacons were put in the church. It was because of widows. Also, according to James chapter 1, the very essence of religion has to do with widows. James 1:27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted before the world." We are to take special care of orphans and widows, according to your Bible. The Bible even tells us in Romans chapter 7, verse 3, about the rules of a widow getting remarried. In Romans 7, 3, it says, "So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." Turn over to Romans chapter 7. I just want you to see something here. Romans chapter 7. And I want to point out, and this really doesn't have a whole lot to do with the message, but I think it's important that you see it, because there are a lot of people that use this scripture wrongly. In other words, they try to teach that it says something that it doesn't say. In Romans chapter 7, look, if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband." Now what that's saying is this. For as long as her husband is alive, she's bound with him through marriage. If she's married to him, she's bound to him through marriage. But if that husband dies, she is no longer under the bondage of marriage. Amen? That's what it's talking about. Verse 3. "So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." Again, it's saying this. As long as her husband is alive, she's not supposed to be married to another man, because then she becomes a polygamist. She's married to two people. Amen? So if she wants to marry another man, she got to wait till that husband dies. Now, I want you to see something that isn't here. How many of you see the word divorce anywhere in here? It's not there. It's talking about a woman, you know, it's like, you know, I'm married to Tammy, and then all of a sudden she wants to marry another man. It's tough. She got to wait till I die. Amen? That's what it's talking about. No divorce here whatsoever. It's talking about a woman whose husband dies. It's talking about a widow. Okay? How many of you see that? So if somebody says, well, you can find divorce in Romans chapter, you can find divorce within 10 chapters there. It's not there. Amen? So that's just a little bit of free stuff there for you when you're reading your Bible. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39 says this. "The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is liberty to marry to whom she will, only in the Lord." Again, talking about a widow. All right? So we know that the Bible has quite a bit to say about widows. But this morning I want to talk to you about something a little bit more specific, and that is this morning I want to talk to you about widows indeed. And again, there is a difference between widows in the Bible and what the Bible calls widows indeed. And there in our text in 1 Timothy, we're told that the local church has an obligation to take care of those widows indeed. The local church has to go out of the way to make sure that anyone who is a widow indeed is taken care of, that makes sure they have enough to eat, make sure that they have enough to pay the bills, to make sure that helping them out in any way that we could possibly help them out. That is what the 1 Timothy is telling us. And it's absolutely clear here that God has a special place in his heart for widows and for those that are widows indeed. But when it comes to those that are widows and not widows indeed, the Bible makes very clear in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that the local church is not obligated to take care of them in the same way that we take care of the widows indeed. Okay, that doesn't mean we don't take care of them. It just means that we have less obligations towards them than we would an actual widow indeed, okay? And we're going to see that this morning. And when I'm saying that, you know, that we are to provide care, I mean that we are to provide extra care for them in the same sense that we, you know, we would provide extra care for orphans and stuff like that. Now, the Bible says that it is the family of that widow that is to take care of her if she is not a widow indeed. Now, what does that mean? That means if we have a widow in this church, and that widow has family that is able to take care of them, then whose obligation is it to take care of that widow? The family's. Now, that doesn't mean the church can't help out from time to time. But I'm saying that the obligation falls on the family. If you look there in 1 Timothy chapter 5, look if you would at verse 16. It says, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. So the family is to take care of their own, of the widow in that family, if they're able to. The family is to take care of them. Now, I understand that in today's world, there are many people who choose not to do this. And I've heard people give, you know, give reasons why for that they can't take care of them. And I understand that there are financial things. I understand there are a lot of things in the world. But I'm just telling you what the Bible says, that if they are capable, they need to take care of the widow, okay? It says in 1 Timothy 5:8, it says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied faith and is worse than an infidel. That's pretty harsh words, but that shows you how God feels about it. That's how he feels about the widows. He says this, somebody needs to take care of them, amen? And so he gives us instruction on that. And so, there are a lot of widows in the Bible, and there are a lot of widows today, but not all of them qualify to be a widow indeed. Now, the certain qualifications of a widow indeed, and we're going to look at those now. What are the qualifications of what the Bible considers a widow indeed? Well, according to 1 Timothy chapter 5, there are quite a few qualifications, and in order to be a widow indeed, a widow would have to meet all of these qualifications, not some of them, but all of them, okay? Not just meaning one or two would not qualify the widow to be a widow indeed. Now, how many of you follow me now that there's what the Bible calls widows, and then you have those that are widows indeed. The widows indeed are the ones that the church is obligated to take care of. That's the widow indeed. But they have to meet certain qualifications for that. If it's a widow that does not meet those qualifications, then the family would take care of them, or the widow could take care of herself. Okay? That's what we're going to see. Now, the qualifications. Number one, if she is going, and again, she has to meet all these qualifications. Number one, if she's going to be a widow indeed, she must have no family to take care of her. Verse 4. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before the Lord. So if she has family, and she's a widow, and she has family that can take care of her, she does not qualify for a widow indeed. Again, like we said, the family has the obligation. Again, that doesn't mean we don't help out as a church, because as a church, we want to help out. We want to do. That's part of loving our brethren and helping them along. But there, you know, the Lord is going to hold this church responsible if we don't take care of who the Lord tells us to take care of. And certainly, we should take care of widows if they're widows indeed. But if she has family that can take care of her, she does not qualify to be a widow indeed. And so the family is to take care of them. Now, I will say this on a personal level. You know, your mama took care of you when you were young. And your mama took the extra step to take care of you when you were young. When they get old, if you're able to, you need to take care of your mama. Amen? I'm just telling you. Okay? And that's just my opinion. So take it for what it's worth. God says that the children are to take care of the widow and mother, and that is good and acceptable for him. But if a widow has no children or family to take care of her, then that's one qualification that she has to be a widow indeed. Now, there's other qualifications. The question has been asked, what if there were a widow that had a family, but the family of the widow is unwilling to take care of the woman, or they live out of town and unable to take care of her? What are we to do as a church? Well, as a church, we are to encourage the family to take care of her. And if the widow lived in a different place in her family, I would encourage the widow to move close to her family so she could be taken care of. Now, listen, there are situations. I'll give you an example. My mom is a widow. And I already told her, Mom, if you want me to take care of you, you need to move up here and I'll take care of you. She goes, oh, no, I just too cold. Well, then I can't take care of you, Mom, if you don't move here. Amen? And so she chose to live with her aunt or with her sister, my aunt. And so that's where she's living now in Pensacola, Florida, where it's a whole lot warmer than here. Amen? And she's probably smiling about it this morning. But what I'm trying to say is this, is I have tried. And there are other kids that have tried. And, you know, if the mother, if the widow is, say, living here and her kids live in Michigan, she can't complain a whole lot of her kids say, listen, Mom, move here and we'll take care of you. And she says no. What are you to do? Amen? Can't force her. And so that's something we need to look at. Like I said, I would encourage either the kids to move there or the mother or the widow to move with her kids, but that way they can take care of each other. And again, keep in mind that the church is going to do anything we can to help out in any way. We've had widows here in this church that we have helped out that do not qualify to be widows indeed, but we help them out anyway just because people want to give them a love offering or help out in certain ways. Okay. But again, there are certain qualifications, and one of those qualifications is that if she has family that's able to take care of her, then that should be an option. All right, the second qualification that a widow must meet to be a widow indeed is this. She must be saved. She must be saved. Look, if you would, at verse 5. It says, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God. Now, you say, well, boy, that goes without saying, Pastor. I mean, if the church is going to help them out as a widow indeed, they need to be saved. That's true because you should be saved before you're a member of this church. Amen? Now, I don't know if all the members of this church are saved, but I did ask, okay, and I was told yes. I guarantee you that you have not joined this church since I've been here, that you were not asked, are you saved? Have you been baptized? I guarantee it, okay? And if I did forget to ask, consider yourself asked now, okay? But I know I did ask, okay? And so the thing about it is the church is obligated. Now listen, I don't want to get into this too much this morning, but how many of you understand that, you know, we have benevolent money that this church has, and we don't just help out the members. We help out other people too. There's people that call up and say, hey, you know, I need a tank of gas. And we try to be as smart as we can about it. I'm not going to give somebody cash to go get gas. I'm going to go get the gas for them, put it inside their car, and then that's how we do it. Okay, we try to play as smart as we can with it because people need help. But our number one obligation is for the people of this church first and then those that are not members of this church. And then if you whittle it down, then you have people that are members of this church who require more care than other people. That the Bible requires us to give more care than other people. And widows indeed is one of them. Orphans would be one of them. If they're an orphan in this church has a great obligation to take care of that orphan and a great obligation to take care of the widows indeed. Now, we try to help out as many people as we can, but there are priorities. And priorities number one is, I mean, the furthest out priority are those that are not members of the church. And then you have members of the church who has a higher priority, and you have widows indeed and orphans within the church that has a higher priority than that. And so that's how we work. How many of you understand that? Okay. I will tell you this. If we gave money to everybody who asked it, we would have nothing. Because there are people that call every month and they say, hey, you know, my gas bill. People don't, they've never even been in this church. Say, my gas bill, I owe $300 on it. Can you pay it for me this month? And my first thought is, okay, how much are you going to owe next month? And who's going to pay that? You see what I'm saying? And so what we do is we filter it down, And you say, well, Pastor, have you ever been taken? Yes, I have been taken. And what do? You live and learn, you know. I remember years ago, a fella called me and he goes, hey, you know, I went to your church. He even described the church. I didn't realize at the time you could go on the internet and get all the information on the church. He even described the church and everything. Described me. He goes, yeah, I come visit your church. He goes, I'm stuck over here at so-and-such place and I don't have enough money to make it there and I'm hoping to make it back into, you know, into town and can you help me out? And I did. I sent him the money. The last I ever heard of that. Yeah, it got taken. Okay? You live and learn. You live and learn. All right? And so, but according to the Bible here, we have obligations. And certainly widows indeed is one of them. And you say, well, what are the qualifications? Well, number one, she has to have no family to take care of her. And number two, she must be saved. And if she is a member of this church, she should be saved. But according to the Bible, in order to be a widow indeed within the church, she needs to be saved. Third qualification. Not only must she be saved, but she also must be a prayer warrior, somebody who prays. Look at verse 5 again. Now she that is a widow indeed, and desolate, trusteth in God, and continueth in supplication and prayers night and day. You say, well, how do you know that she's praying? She could just tell you that. That's true. That's true. She could say that. But I will say this, that if she's out, if she's living a life where it's pretty obvious that she's not in fellowship with the Lord, chances are she's not praying, okay? And so I'm saying this, if she's openly living in sin, we got a big problem anyway, but one of those is this qualifies her for to be a widow indeed when it comes to the church taking care of her, all right? You say, well, what would you do in that sense? I tell her to get right with God, amen? She needs to be somebody who prays. Now, the fourth qualification. This is not a popular one, but remember, if you don't have a problem with it, take it up with the writer of the book. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 9, it tells us that in order to be a widow indeed, she must be at least 60 years old. Look at verse 9. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old. You say, under 60. Why under 60? Because generally, under 60, she can go out and work and support herself. Amen? That's reading that says that. Not only that, but, you know, 60 is not, I mean, under 60, not, I'm not saying if you're over 60, you're old. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that under 60, you have a lot of different things that you can do in life that younger people do generally. Whereas when you start getting older, those things are greatly reduced. And so that's one. Now, if you look at verse 11, it gives you one of the reasons for this. It says, as far as her being 60, it says, but the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. So it's saying to the younger widows, what it's telling you is this, is if you're considered an older widow, a widow indeed, by age of 60 above, and below 60, they're saying, you know, these people, these women can still marry, they can go out and get a job, they can do these different things, they have a husband to support them, another family to support them. They can do all these things. And so the Bible does put an age limit on her. In order to be a widow indeed, you got to be 60 or above, okay? And it tells you the reason why there in verse 11. All right, now look at another one. Verse 9. It says, not only does she have to be at least 60 years old and be saved, not only does she have to have a family have nobody to take care of her to be a widow indeed. But according to verse 9, she must have only been married once. Let not a widow be taken into the number of 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Now you say, why is that? Well, let's think about it for a second. If you have a widow here and she's had, let's say she's been married 3 times, how many kids do you think she's going to have that's going to be able to take care of her? From 3 different families. Not only 3 different families, but you have, you have aunts, uncles, grandkids, all these. You have a lot of people here who are able to be taking care of her in her old age. Amen? So, but if you've only had the one husband, then you've only got the one family. So the Bible puts a restriction on it and said, hey, listen, you're going to be a widow indeed. You need to have only been married once, and then that would qualify you if those other qualifications are still intact. In other words, if you've only been married once and your kids can't take care of you or won't take care of you, or if they're not alive to take care of you, she would have to be saved. She'd have to be above 60. How many of you see those qualifications? And all of it makes sense, because what the Lord is doing is saying this, is not all widows are the same. There are widows that can be supported by other people, but then you have those widows that have nobody to support them at all. That's the ones that the Bible says, that, listen, we're obligated here. We got to help them out all that we can. Now, if you look here, it tells you that there are some other qualifications, and certainly another one is that she must have a good testimony among people. Look at verse 10. It says, well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the feet of the saints, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. In other words, she is a Christian. She is living the life that God wants her to live. She's helping out people. She's helping not only save people out, talking about the washing the feet of the saints. Now, you say, well, what does that mean? Does that mean she has to literally get down and wash the saints of the feet? Or the saints of the feet? The feet of the saints? No, it doesn't mean that. And I'll tell you the reason why. Because when you read about the Lord washing the disciples' feet, do you realize what the Lord was teaching? He was teaching to be a servant. That's what he was teaching. He was not teaching that there's an ordinance of feet washing. I'm just going to tell you, if there were an ordinance of feet washing, I know a lot of Christians today that would just flat disobey the Lord and would not wash those feet. Amen? What I'm saying is this. The Lord was washing the disciples' feet. He was talking about serving them. Humbling yourself and serving somebody else, washing their feet, doing something you may not like to do in order to help this other brother out. And when Jesus did it, how dare somebody say, well, you know, that kind of work is beneath me. I've heard Christians actually say that. Well, that kind of work's beneath me. The Lord was washing the feet of dirty fishermen. Amen? Amen. So don't ever say there's a job beneath you. The Lord is teaching service. And when it says here, washing the saints' feet, you know what it's saying? It's not saying that she should get down and start scrubbing his feet between his toes. It's saying that she ought to help out the brethren. In other words, humble herself and do whatever she can to help them out. Now, keep this in mind. She's a widow. How much could she help out? Well, according to the Lord, that one widow took the two mites in there and threw it inside the thing and said she'd given more than anybody else. Listen, widows can help out. You say, well, she doesn't have anything. Okay, can she pray? That's what she's supposed to do. Should she help out somebody? Say, you know, you're going through this, I'll pray for you. I'm thankful I had people praying for my wife this past last night. People praying, that means a lot. I'm thankful we had people praying for us to make it home from injury. Prayer means a lot. There are people today that need your prayers. Sister Hazel, a widow, need your prayers today. You know, prayer means a lot. The question is this widow, is she serving people? Is she praying? Is she helping out people as she can, even though she doesn't have anything? Is she doing what she can? The Lord is saying, listen, if she's doing that and she's saved and she doesn't have anybody to take care of her and she meets these other qualifications, then we need to take care of her. That's what the Bible's telling you. And we are obligated. And I'm going to tell you something. You start reading about what the Bible says about taking care of widows and orphans as a pastor, I'm scared not to.
Amen.
Because I'll tell you what, the Lord makes it, he says it over and over and over. You read the scriptures, you read your Bible through, and notice the emphasis that he puts on widows and orphans. I don't want to be the person to say, no, I'm not going to take care of her. That's the reason why, honestly, I'm going to help them out if they're a widow, period. Now, but then when it comes to going the extra mile, then the widows indeed have that because of the qualifications. Why? Because these are people, the widows indeed are people who have nobody else to take care of them, who's saved, who's a member of the church, who's been a prayer warrior, who serves people, and they've only they don't have any other family. They've only been married one time. They need help. And so, according to this, she must have a good testimony before other people, a testimony as a Christian. And so what are we to do? We're to go out of our way and help out someone who qualifies to be a widow indeed. Okay? And again, I can't stress to you enough that we're going to take care of anybody who needs to help all that we can. But we are super obligated to take care of those specific widows that need the extra help. So I want you to do something this morning. I'm going to close here, but I want you to think about the widows that we have in this church. And I want you to pray for them.
You know, you have like Sister Hazel. She's one, and she's, you know, go visit them. Go visit her. You know, just tell her you're praying for her. Eat a cookie with her. Make sure it's the soft ones, not the crumbly ones. Okay, things like that, because you know what they need our prayers. We have widows in this church right now. They need our prayers. When was the last time you prayed for them? God takes it serious. Do you? Let's pray.